You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 16th of November. Trade day is here. Draft day is coming. Free agency is around the corner. Oh my goodness, it's all here, and we'll discuss it all as we continue on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Utah Jazz fan. More draft breakdowns. Desmond Bane, two big guys, went back to watch Richard Woodard, Isaiah Joe of Arkansas today. Why the Jazz are unlikely to make any trades, we'll walk through that. And the league-wide news of Harden, Dennis Schroeder, Russell Westbrook, and others all possibly being moved. That's what we got coming up on today's show. Hope you had a great weekend. So the trade day starts today. NBA trades are open and available to happen starting today. And we've already seen two deals go down. Detroit has traded Bruce Bowen to the Brooklyn Nets for Zanamusa and a 2021 second round pick. So we're seeing the first kind of deal go down. Troy Weaver's the new GM. Musa was a Brooklyn first-round pick. I actually took him in one of our mock drafts a few years ago. He's the 29th pick of the draft. He has not done much of anything yet. That trade will be official. I'm recording at 7:53 in the morning. 10 a.m. trades are open. Dennis Schroeder has been traded, according to reports, from Oklahoma City to the Lakers. So we'll get into all of those things. But here's why I think it's unlikely that the Jazz get into this trade market this year. First off, the most commonly played trade game of the Jazz this offseason has been Rudy Gobert. Okay, I get it. It's interesting. There was the whole disruption because of COVID and all of that, and he might want the max. Like, it's not ridiculous, okay? It's just really, to me, very unlikely. You know, Rudy can get both the super max extension as well as a max extension. The Jazz are not hamstrung to only being able to offer him the super max. And Rudy's awesome. He is what our team is built on. He's the foundation piece of us defensively and, frankly, offensively with his role gravity. And he's great. So I appreciate the kind of constant discussion about it. And I appreciate that it's legitimately worth discussing. But at the same time, I just don't really see it happening. It would be a complete transformation of who we are as a team. It would be a complete pivot off of basically everything that we do. And we'd be trading one of the most impactful players in the league. And at least on my level, I also think that the areas in which, you know, Rudy struggles are still not areas, or that the two things, the areas where Rudy struggles and the area where the league is altered are not reasons to disband the Rudy Gobert-led team. So Rudy's not great dealing with off-the-bounce three-point shooting guards on the pick-and-roll, Dame Lillard, Jamal Murray. He's going to have to improve at that. It's where the league's going. It's been a problem for us at times. We allow a lot of big games because of it. We're also, you know, the best. There's a lot to that yin, there's a yang. We're the number one defensive shot profile team. We've been a top 10 defensive team until last year. We've been a top one defensive team. His rim protection is awesome. Teams don't get to the rim. We're the only team that's top five in denying the three and denying the rim. And Rudy Gobert, and frankly, that shot, other than Jamal Murray and Dame Lillard and probably Steph Curry, and so you're going to run into them in the Western Conference, is not a good shot. Like, those guys bend you in a unique manner the same way Rudy bends people. And then on the offensive side, sure, we're spacing the floor, but vertical rim space, vertical challenging of the rim and vertical spacing is as important as horizontal spacing. We've seen that. And when the Jazz have had lineups that have shooters, Rudy's offensive impact is awesome. So I just think that that extension gets done unless Rudy somehow announces he doesn't want to be here anymore, which I don't think is the case. And unless Rudy somehow announces he has to have the Supermax. So, you know, those would be landscape shifters. The next trade is that we hear a lot about is Mike Conley. He opted into his $34 million contract. And you know what? Again, totally reasonable conversation. Probably underperformed expectation of what fans had for him last year. Fact is, he was pretty darn good if you kind of dig back into it a little bit and where he was for the whole end of the process, he was pretty darn good. And he brings a lot of things to the table and probably will be even better this year. And then from a, so he's, you know, the idea that Mike Conley somehow is a lost cause is, I don't think, a fair estimation of what he did for the team last year. He had some hamstring problems. That's obviously the number one issue you have to worry about with him is his legs. But let's just get to contractually. He's a $34 million one-year contract. If you're trading him, he's probably the best one-year max contract that's out there, right? All the others we've talked about, Blake Griffin, Victor Oladipo, I'm not sure you get better. In fact, on some of them, I'm sure you get worse. Then the next level is you would be trading $34 million for $34 million of talent somewhere. You'd have a hard, you've got to put together what that deal is. And if it added some depth and you were able to get something done in that regard, maybe someone's in tax problems and they need to move off if they're rebuilding their team in some capacity, that could be a possibility. You know, Brooklyn, you'd try to put together Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert, but they don't really need Mike Conley. They have Kyrie Irving. So that's, you know, I'm just trying to give an example. And so you're then talking about players like Tobias Harris, who are on these five-year contracts that are maxed out. And if you are deciding to trade Mike Conley for that, then what you're really doing is committing to that being your roster going forward to try to break through. And I don't think that that does it. So again, I think that's an unlikely trade piece, frankly. I think you're probably better off letting that expire and moving on with your extensions and building your teams from that, or signing and trading at the end of the year, or finding another role for him in which he's on a different contract number, because he is still a really valuable player. Then you get down to the next aspect, and the next one is that you're trading either Bojan Bogdanović or Joe Ingles, and I don't think anyone wants to do either of those things. In the case of Bojan Bogdanović, it's 17.8, 18.7, and 19.5, or your contracts, 3 years left. I think the league's nervous about the 2022 contract, at least when he signed, that was everyone's take. I'm not sure I buy into that, but that's what everyone's take was. And so the question I would have on that is, you know, he really fits us pretty perfectly. You're transforming your team last year when you signed him into this spread floor offensive juggernaut, and you were the number one offense from December 24th on, and your offense in the bubble was fabulous. So, you know, that's to me, that was even without Bojan, and you really turned yourself into an offensive team. Are you pivoting off of that in some capacity if you want to try to trade Bojan after 1 year on the roster? And it does to me seem as though he brings kind of exactly what you were trying to get. The Jazz may have overpaid slightly because he was such a great fit. Then there's Joe, who, you know, I think we all think does amazing things for us. Our team is vital. The plus minus when Joe's on the floor is outstanding. He's great locker room guy. He's super community guy. He's plays really well. I mean, at some point Joe's going to age, and I do worry about his aging a little bit, only because I do think players that are not on the peak level of athleticism, when they age, they fall off the cliff harder. Kevin Pelton has told me that that's probably not entirely true, that guys just fall off the cliff hard and fast. And so, you know, that would be the reason. So you get into this like middle round here of Bojan at 18 million, we'll call it, Joe at about 10 million with 14 next year, or 11 million, and Royce O'Neal at 8 or 9 million, where those are actually your tradable pieces if you're the Jazz and you're trying to transform your roster and you're trying to, you know, bring in some real talent. You know, at some point, depending what you do Ed Davis's $5 million contract can be added on or moved, depending your feeling on Tony Bradley. And his $3.5 million contract can get moved on. You've got Nigel Williams-Goss and Mia One and George Niang, all at like 1.7 that you can add to your platter and get your numbers to match. But really, there's kind of, when it gets down to it, there's three trade possibilities here. There's the big one with Rudy. There's the moving the max contract with Mike. And then there's taking this these middle contract players of Boyan, Joe, or Royce, and deciding you're moving them to get something else. And so I don't see any of those three as particularly likely, or the rest of the league matching up to make those come together, would be really what my primary point of that exercise was. All right, some more draft stuff, some more mocks are out, and I spent a bunch of time watching players. Desmond Bane at the core of it. I have his comp. It's a former Jazz player he reminds me of, and I'll share that with you when we come back. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross, also in Linden and in Logan, they do amazing work, have an incredible lineup of trucks. And if you're looking at the end of the year purchase, you've got this Silverado truck, you've got the Tahoe, you've got the Suburban, you've got the amazing lineup of Chevy trucks. Over 80, 90 years in Utah, the Murdochs and Chevy have come together to bring you the best combination. And the Murdoch Sure program is still going on right now, so make sure you take advantage of all of that with Murdoch Hyundai, Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross, as well as in Logan. It's Murdoch Chevy, the Chevys, the Murdochs, the Utahs, all together for over 80 years. Today's show also brought to you by Built Bar, the most delicious protein bar and healthiest protein bar on the market. The macros are incredible. 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 net carbs. And you grab a protein bar today, take a moment and read the macros on your bar. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 sugar, 5 carbs. 18, 180, 5. Take a look at that and see what compares to what you're eating. And then go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, 20% off your next order. And then what you'll experience after that is healthy, great tasting, 100% chocolate, fabulous flavored protein bars, and you'll never go back. And you'll throw some of them in the freezer because they're really good that way. So it's a 3-step process. Check the bar you eat today. See what the macros are. Realize, oh, that doesn't work for me. Go to BuiltBar.com. Enter the promo code in Locked On. Get 20% off. Get your bars. Put some of them in the freezer and love the Built Bar amazing flavor. The Locked On NBA mock draft is going on today, and the Jazz are picking. That's right. The Jazz are picking in today's Locked On NBA mock draft. Going into the day, we'll start at the 19th pick on the board still for the right now, as the day starts, are Desmond Bane, Tyrese Maxey has slipped, Cole Anthony's still on the board, Jalen Smith, Maryland Big, is still on the board, Theo Maledon is still on the board, Tyler Bay, Colorado, is still on the board. Leandro Balmero is still on the board. Jaden McDaniels, still on the board. Xavier Tillman, still on the board. Robert Woodard, still on the board. Players that the Jazz might be considering, Josh Green and Alex Poshevsky, came off the board already. So that's the mock draft. Catch it today at Locked On NBA. We're at the 19th pick of the draft. I watched Desmond Bane a great deal last night. He's Blue Edwards. For old-time Jazz people, he's Blue Edwards with a little bit better shot because of the era, but his game and body are similar. I grew to like him more I watched him. Let me see if I can elaborate on that a little bit for you. So first off, he did have two plays that really jumped out at me. And I am a big believer in this. It's why I like Robert Woodard. I like players who do things that make me back up the screen and go wow and make me say, oh my. One of them was a rebound and go, where he got the rebound. He came out of the pack at the three-quarter court. So he's got three-quarter court to go. He's about the top of the key the other way. There's a guy on his side, and there's two defenders, one backpedaling and one running back, kind of on each side of the free throw line. With his dribble, he was faster than the guy on his shoulder, and when he got by him, he's big enough and strong enough, he's really strong, that he was able to veer and take him out of the play. So one, he was smart with it. He didn't just try to go straight. He's 22 years old. He showed that maturity. Two, he had the speed and athleticism to get by him. And three, then once he got in the lane, he's able to go off 1 foot, and he was able to get to the rim, and he's able to finish. So that was the first one that I was like, okay, that's elite NBA athlete. I just saw it. Great. The second was an open floor play where he's against USC. I watched him against Kansas, and I watched him against USC, so I've actually got to watch him against two of the best bigs. And the USC kid, who could be the third pick, ninth pick of the draft, 6'9", super athlete. I mean, I totally 100% see why everybody likes Okongwu so much. But Bane is coming to the floor, left side of the floor, with his left hand, drives up, rises up over him for a high layup off the glass. Off 1 foot. 1 foot jumper. Big deal. Those two plays were really, really super impressive. And then you add that he's got a good quick release with limited jump. So it's kind of a set shot. He's pretty good. He was only generally okay around the rim as a player. Like, just, you know, he wasn't like a great rim finisher or anything. But he was pretty good. He was 1.3 points per catch and shoot, 77th percentile. He was 1.07 off the dribble. He was 1.01 points per shot around the half court, which is not great. Around the rim in the half court, which is not great. So, you know, as much as I just saw that athleticism, it didn't always play. One of the games I was watching, Fran Fraschella, the great NBA commentator, was kind of on him the whole game for not being more assertive, not having a bigger influence on the game. I don't think he's capable of that, quite honestly. I don't think he's actually capable of being more assertive and putting himself in the game. I don't think he had the dribble drive game. You know, he seems to, with some regularity, get the ball, drive to the two or three dribbles with his left or right hand and kind of stop and gets off of it. He is a fabulous passer. He is so physically strong. He's a fabulous passer. And I actually really think I was won out by the strength and speed of his passing and the accuracy of his passing. So I have enough athleticism that I believe he can play in the league. I have fabulous passing, willing passing, not a great one-on-one, like isn't beating guys. Even with space, I don't think he's going to beat guys. His shooting numbers and his breakdown are good, and he is old. Like, you know, that's the thing you have to kind of be a little cautious of, is that he is 22 years old, and so he's doing all of this against much younger players. And his early step along the way was not as, you know, not as good, shall we say. Like, he wasn't as dominant in that regard. But I began to like Desmond Bane the more and more I watched him, understanding that I just didn't think that some of that at least elite athleticism or elite like playmaking is available. His transition percentile was the 50th percentile. His isolation was actually in the 97th. He only did it 27 times. He only goes when he knows he can score. He had 91 pick and rolls. He was in the 85th percentile. He's in the 90th percentile for spot up. 76th percentile for catch and shoot on a lot of attempts, 148. That's what he does. 73rd percentile for catch and shoot unguarded. And 95th percentile in off-the-bounce shooting, took 110, which is a lot. So I liked him a lot. I thought the Dotson point guard at Kansas has a chance to play in the NBA. I liked Frank Mason Jr. a few years ago, too. It's somewhat of that system. Azubuike is interesting. He is just a mammoth. I mean, he is just a beast among... Now, he's a four-year college player, and so there's probably a little bit of... you know, that he's just bigger than everyone else. But on the other end, like, you know what? Like, Patrick Ewing year, he's like the third pick of the draft. I don't think he has Patrick Ewing too, but I mean, he was just a beast. It is a mammoth man who moves pretty well, who could probably learn some skills on how to pick and how to roll and some NBA things like that. I thought his roles were very narrow on the ball handler in the games I watched, so he was up on him a little bit. But boy, he's just a different physical specimen than the rest of the players in that game. Okongwu, I totally see it. I get why in our Lockdown NBA mock draft he went third over Wiseman. You absolutely do think he's going to be able to play switch 1 through 5. You do think he's going to be able to do everything defensively. He plays with a bounce. He plays with a joy. Most impressive thing to me on Okongwu was he threw some high-low passes. They had a kid out of Chicago who was another big guy. And the touch on those high-low passes were just fabulous. So I totally saw that. I thought he was impressive. I went and watched Isaiah Joe, who's the Arkansas three-point shooter, takes like 10 a game. You know, might have just been bad luck. The first two or three plays he got the ball, he couldn't handle. He dribbled off his knee on one of them. Richard Woodard just ripped a ball out of his hands when he brought it in front of him. He just didn't seem to have, you know, is he maybe become Wayne Ellington? Though I think Wayne Ellington probably has a little more to his game. Maybe, but I, you know, those two opening plays certainly tarnished a thought or two I had on him. And then I watched some more Woodard. I watched more Robert Woodard. Like, this is a guy I just keep watching and jumps out at me. And, all right, I'll give you a little bit more on him, and then we'll talk about all the trades and the league rumors and all of those things as we continue. Locked on NBA mock draft at Locked on NBA. The Jazz will pick today. So make sure when you're done with this, you go grab that. Locked on NBA. You can actually just tell it to play the most recent, or you can back up to the first pick and grab all of them if you have not already heard them. All right, so I keep watching Robert Woodard because I'm the only one in the world who likes this kid this much. And I actually keep coming back to the same thing, and it's going to be fascinating on him. If I had, like, of the players we're all talking about right now, I'm probably taking Desmond Bane in front of him. I'm probably taking Josh Green in front of him. I'm way more certain that someone like Isaiah Stewart or Azubuike will be in the league longer than him. Way more certain. If I'm taking a flyer, I'd probably rather take a flyer if I get a chance. I'd rather take a chance on the likes of a Jalen Smith out of Maryland. Like, I'm not saying that this is unquestionably my top pick of the draft, okay? But for a guy that nobody else is talking about or that everyone has, like, I like him, right? So, as I just said, I probably would take Desmond Bane against him. I'm not sure what I would do with Cole Anthony. I would probably take Jalen Smith in front of him. I would probably take Josh Green in front of him. Like, it's just more certain, right? You just at some point when you pull the trigger, you're going for certainty. But I still just see everything I've seen from the beginning. He's not a great shooter. He's got a huge lift on his jump shot, which leads to inconsistency, and that's why his shot's not great. You know, I can't always... he doesn't seem to have multiple dribble game of anything elite. I'm not sure he's going to need it in the NBA. I think if he gets by people and has an advantage, he'll just get to the rim and dunk. When he defends in the open floor and athleticism is a part of it, he's amazing. His overall consistency, play in and play out, are not great. Quite frankly, they're you know, right when I'm convinced, like, all right, this guy can really defend, he leaves Isaiah Joe open for a wide open three and, like, seems to forget that there's a double stagger coming. So he's in no way, shape, or form perfect. But when I watch him, I still see an athleticism that's unmatched, a game that's untapped, and a team that didn't utilize him. I would be totally comfortable taking a flyer on him. All right, NBA trade day starts today. We went through it from the Jazz standpoint. Here's the talk around the league. First of all, give the Lakers credit. They're not resting on their laurels. They go and get Dennis Schroeder, who had a great year from last year with Oklahoma City. Really had his best year he's ever had. And in that sense, you know, they're definitely buying high. And Danny Green has been on the other, you know, has been struggling. They get a lot smaller. They add some offense. And Schroeder was, you know, really quite fabulous for the Thunder. Will the Lakers be able to find the same environment for Schroeder, who was the third pick and roll option on the Thunder behind Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and found a productivity and a efficiency that he had never had before. And he's a free agent at the end of the year. Danny Green will likely be moved on beyond and away from the Lakers. I would think this means the end of Rajon Rondo with the Lakers as well. I'm not sure what his next spot would be, but I would suspect that this means Schroeder takes Rajon Rondo's spot. I mentioned the Bruce Brown trade to talk. The big news is the idea that Harden could possibly go to the Nets. It would be the greatest combination of off-the-bounce players in the history of the league. I mean, Kyrie is the number one one-on-one player. Durant's the number one kind of get his own shot guy, and Harden's the greatest offensive player the game has. It would be incredible. It would be also an absolute sign that the Rockets, you know, have changed who they are and what they're doing. It would be interesting also, do they trade Harden and keep Westbrook? Is it really just an issue you can't have both those guys? And if Westbrook's getting moved, where's he going? Or at the end of the day, can the Rockets actually rebuild this whole thing with Terry Rozier, Miles Bridges, Chris Caris LeVert, and Spencer Dinwiddie, and they suddenly rebuilt their roster? It's going to be pretty fascinating to see how that plays. But the trades are all supposed to start coming up here in hours, or they're free to. The players' options are all in, so they can all be traded for picks. Players have all done their things. Wesley Matthews opted out. Lakers are heavily talked about there. Makes sense. He was home in Milwaukee. We'll see whether he changes that. But it is going to be pretty nuts. And if you didn't see the 5'10" Isaiah Thomas, I'm 6'10" tweet last night, you missed the tweet of the night. All right, that's Evan Fournier opted in, by the way. That was an interesting little note at $17 million. Here's what that told me on free agency. Here's a thought, and we'll dig into this as the week goes on for free agency. I think we're going to see a lot of high-level, big-numbered, one-year contracts. Tony Snell picked up his $12 million option. What I think we're going to see is players getting big one-year option numbers. So, Derek Favors, Paul Millsap, to use two former Jazz men that you would know about. Danilo Gallinari. I think they're going to get large one-year numbers. And it's going to make it hard for someone like the Jazz to go acquire a player unless they're willing to use their full mid-level exception for them. And multiple years. You know, the hope that maybe Paul Millsap, like I kind of like the idea of Millsap as a 16-minute-a-night 18-minute night starter. The but the idea that you would get Millsap on a 3-year, you know, $15 million deal, or even you're using your biannual and it's 2-year $9 million. I think Millsap's going to get like a 1-year 10. And you're going to have a hard time getting him. I think New Orleans favors a 1-year 15. I think Gallinari gets a 1-year 20 somewhere. And so I think those guys, not that we were really in for Gallo at any point here, but I think those guys get difficult. Jeremy Grant, I think Denver matches it, but someone offers him cap space. Fred VanVleet gets offered cap space. Toronto probably matches it. Then those teams that have the cap space and just didn't get Jeremy Grant and didn't get Fred VanVleet are now offering that cap space in 1-year increments to lesser players, making it hard for a team like the Jazz with their mid-level exception to go get anyone. That's my guess on how the market plays. That is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks very much for tuning in. Have a wonderful day. And now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA and see who I draft. And then tell me at Locked On Sports what you think. We'll talk about it on tomorrow's show.